Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. We're with Richard Piper, and I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And Bob and Richard, horrible tornadoes have ripped through Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, leaving a tragic death toll and just massive damage. And so we pray God's grace upon those who lost loved ones and for those who still are unaccounted for and potentially lying injured in the rubble there. It's just a tragic thing.
Yeah, it is. Some of the news reports and the weatherman on the local channel, I mean, they said we're going to have to bring in some radar stuff that we don't normally use just to show the detail of what really happened here. And it was just a powerful storm that ripped through and caused incredible damage. Yeah. And, you know, it's unexpected. Those people woke up but just expecting a great day and just a routine, and all of a sudden lives are taken, and it just leaves people in the lurch, not knowing what to do. And you know, in those times, we certainly pray God's comfort would be there. Christ is in the midst of those things, and we just pray that he makes his presence known in such a way that brings comfort to their hearts and a sense of hope that this isn't the end, that things can be rebuilt, life can be restored, even in the midst of such great loss.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And why this particular month we're really talking about the new covenant. Why? Because the new covenant gives us a sense of hope for here and now, but a hope for the future as well. It's one of the most important topics in all of the Word of God. It's not a topic that we hear often. It's not a topic that's preached very regularly from pulpits.
True.
But it's a topic that needs to be front and center all the time. Why? Because as believers in Christ today, we are new covenant believers. We're not in the old covenant. Mm-hmm. That old covenant was specifically a covenant between God and Israel. Gentiles were not included. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for us. And it was just really a stop in God's overall plan to bless all nations in Christ Jesus through this new covenant. And that's what was ushered in the day that Jesus died. And it was a different covenant altogether. It wasn't like the Mosaic covenant. And it had its beginnings long before the old covenant was even established between God and the people of Israel. It goes back all the way to Abraham.
Right.
And we see this in Genesis 12. And I love this story. And folks, you really need to go back and start in Genesis 11 and read through 12. And there's just this guy named Abram. And all of a sudden, God shows up in his life. Now, say you're just sitting on a park bench and just enjoying the day, and all of a sudden, God shows up in your life.
Oops.
How would you respond? What would you be expecting? What would you think God was bringing to you? And most of us would be scared out of our minds. Yeah. God, the God of this universe, has shown up. I know that I've sinned. I know that man, I don't deserve to be close to him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, here he is.
Yeah.
And we would be expecting some type of punishment, some type of lashing, something on the negative side. But when he showed up in Abram's life, it wasn't about punishment for sin. It wasn't about any of those things. God brought blessing and promises. Now, that's what I call grace.
Yeah.
That's what the grace of God is all about. It's God just showing up at his good pleasure to bless us and to tell us all the promises that he is going to bring about in our lives. That's what he did with Abram.
Yeah.
Incredible, incredible visitation of God to this man. Now, in Genesis 12, he says this. Now, the Lord said to Abram, and he talks about getting up, going to another country, how he's going to be, you know, the father of a great nation. But he goes on and expands it and says in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, now listen to this, this is the key, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So this promise of God to Abram was a promise that would eventually bless all nations. It wasn't a promise just for the nation of Israel, just for the Jewish people, although there were promises directed toward them. But the end, the finale, so to speak, is that all nations would be blessed in through Abraham.
Yeah.
Now, he goes on in chapter 13, and it says, "And to your offspring forever." So we're starting to see something that Paul speaks of and picks up on in Galatians 3, that this whole world is going to be blessed through Abraham's seed, that seed being Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
So this promise to Abraham was about a person, a singular person named Jesus Christ that was going to come on the scene and at a point in time was going to bless the entire world through this new covenant that he was going to usher in. So all the way back in Genesis, we see the formation of what would become reality, what would take place through the cross, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the promise. Jesus Christ is the promise. And it is in him that all nations will be blessed, both Jew and Gentile. It is through Christ that Jew and Gentile will become one new man and will be held together as brothers and sisters in Christ by this new covenant that Christ ushered in.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing, amazing story. And we get to participate in that story by grace through faith in Jesus. So many people are asking God or Christ to bless their story, to make their story the best story it can be. Well, that's not how the Bible lays it out. The Bible isn't about making your story good. It's an invitation for you to participate in the story of God that's being lived out in this promise of Jesus and now in the reality of Jesus Christ himself through this new covenant that he ushered in.
Yes, absolutely. It occurred to me as you were speaking, Bob, that God has had kind of has a habit of dropping in on unsuspecting people through the ages. I think of, as you were mentioning, Abraham, and then, of course, Moses and the Apostle Paul, and I have notable others as well. But, you know, it's kind of interesting that he does that from time to time. 844-322-2742, that's the number in the U.S., Canada. It's about 8 minutes after 3 o'clock. You're hearing the 3 p.m. Central Time. You're hearing the live broadcast, and we want you to be a part of it. Give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. You know, something a little bit different for our donors this month, centered on a CD that we call We Are New Covenant. But for this one, we're including multiple copies. So, Bob, what's up with that, multiple copies?
Well, we want to... I guess tap into this promise that it's not just for you, it's for all people. And so we want you to know what this new covenant is all about and just how incredibly blessed you are in this new covenant, all the promises that God has made to you in Christ Jesus, and the fact that all of those promises are yes for you in Christ Jesus. But we know you have friends. We know you have family members that aren't quite so sure. About this gospel, aren't quite so sure about the love of God. And this is a great CD that you can just put in their hands and say, listen.
Mm-hmm.
And once they do, then you can have great conversation. So it's a way to spread the good news about this new covenant that we live in. So we want you to have these 5 copies. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. One is for you, one for your personal benefit, for your personal growth, and well-being in Christ Jesus, and 4 for you to pass along.
It's a great idea, friends, and we want you to be a part of it. And you can do that by clicking donate at basicgospel.net or by using the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Friends, let's get this message out. Join us and help us get this message out far and wide. Well, once again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, and I guess to the phones.
Yes, indeed. Let's go talk with Chris in Fairfax, Virginia. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. My question is, how does the love of God motivate us to line our thinking up with God's will? What I mean by that is, I think a lot of us know what we should think. We know that God's will in terms of our thinking involves joy and peace. And yet knowing that, we still turn away from that and we choose things like anxiety and despair. But just knowing what we should be thinking about a lot of the time isn't enough to make us actually want to think the things that God wants us to think. And I suspect that knowing the love of God is important in motivating us to think the things that God wants us to think. So how does the love of God plug into that?
Well, it's a great question, Chris. I think the love of God is what God wants us to think about. It's what God wants to really consume our minds, is the fact that he loves us. And then to have that love be the controlling factor, the constraining factor, the compelling factor in how we treat one another. So love is that thing that we think about. Love is that ultimate reality. Why? Because God is love. That's who he is. That's his essence. That's his nature. That's who he is at his core. God so loved that he gave. And so as that love begins to really fill up our minds, what that love really is, then that's going to direct kind of our thinking toward others and our actions toward others. So it's all about being filled and controlled by the love of God. So, and when we understand that love, I love Galatians 2:20. It's, you know, we've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in this body of flesh, I live by faith, or within the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that truth that Jesus loves me, becomes just the all encompassing reality. That is the ultimate reality. And as I just simply rest in that, then when troubles come my way, I can cast those cares upon him. Why? Because I know that he cares for me. That's just a part of his love. When troubles come my way, I know that this one who loved me and gave himself for me is bigger than any trouble that I will experience. So instead of fretting, I can learn to give thanks and trust that he's going to work it together for good. So knowing the love of God really enables us to see Jesus for who he really is, understand his great power toward us, and understand his great care of us in everyday life. And so when we know that he has us in his hand, then we're free to love others as God in Christ has loved us. Richard?
There's something I love to do with words like love and grace and peace and all these wonderful words that tens of thousands of pages have been written about. And I blow away the words, and I personify them. We know God is love, but we haven't seen God. So God sent Jesus. Jesus is the love of God made manifest to humans. We know that Jesus is grace. And what did Jesus do with grace? But he gave it to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. So the love of God and the grace of God and all the other things that are God's live inside of us now by the Holy Spirit. And one of the Holy Spirit's most important jobs is to renew our minds. That means that it's the Holy Spirit's job to teach me how to think, to get rid of the garbage and to replace it with truth. And when I allow the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit and to do what only the Holy Spirit can do, that's when, in my life, that's when I realize that the love of God is constraining me and helping me to do things differently. When I don't do that, then I ask myself, well, am I allowing the love of God to motivate me? And then I get into behaviorism. Well, I did this. Well, that's not so loving. Well, I guess I'm failing. And we've got to, we always have to stop that because it's so easy to do. Instead, it's a constant thank you. I have literally God in me, and he is teaching me how to think. He's teaching me how to choose. He's teaching me how to love the way he would. And that's just an awesome, awesome reality.
Does that help, Chris?
So what would you say to someone or all the listeners out there who maybe they think that they need something other than the love of God? Like, okay, I know God loves me in an intellectual way, but I need something else over here. What would you say to all the listeners out there to kind of motivate them and steer them into the direction of what you're talking about and letting the love of God fill our thinking?
Well, Chris, I mean, the love of God is more than an intellectual knowledge of it. That love has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's there. Mm-hmm. It's just simply there, and it's a force. There's a pressure. So a lot of times we like to be reservoirs. We want to be these deep things of water that just hold it in. But the love of God is not like that. It's a river. It has power to it. So it's constantly knocking at us saying, hey, let's go love others. So it's not like we have to really figure out all the ins and outs of exactly what that love is. It's simply saying, hey, I'm getting in the current and allowing God's Spirit to do his thing in and through me. I mean, that's the whole idea. And here's another thing, Chris, that I think is vitally important for us to understand. We live in such a world today, even though we're the most connected generation that's ever been, but we're connected by things and electronics and sound waves and microwaves and all of these things. Those are where our connections come from. And it's hard to love people through those types of connections. It's all about presence. So God's presence is in us. And when we are in the presence of others, guess what we're going to see in action? The love of God. It just bubbles up inside of you when you're standing in front of somebody. It is a completely different, completely different experience of standing in front of somebody than what you may be thinking about that person from a distance. So to really love takes face-to-face interaction, doesn't it?
Yep, and that goes along so well with what you were talking about earlier as far as the thoughts we might have when God shows up. And yeah, I totally agree that knowing God's presence is so important, and it's also something that is easy to neglect. But I think when we take that into consideration, things can change. Thank you guys so much for everything you guys do, and God bless you richly.
Hey, thanks, Chris.
Yeah,
Chris. Very good question today.
We really appreciate hearing from you, as always. Guys, an anonymous listener in Seattle wrote to us. He says, he or she says, thank you for all the truth that you teach. What does the Bible mean when it says to work out our soul salvation, and do Christians have to continually repent?
two great questions. And the first one is based out of Philippians chapter 2. And it's really a great passage. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And oftentimes we just stop right there.
Yeah.
And we think, okay, well, what does that mean? And what does that look like? And how do I do that? How do I work out that salvation with fear and trembling? And so all of that is kind of a scary verse.
Yeah.
And we're worried, hey, we might not get it right. We might not do it the right way. And what happens if we don't? Is that where the fear and trembling comes in, that I better, you know, watch out because punishment's just ahead if I don't do this right? Well, no, that's not what this is saying at all. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So, Richard, this is just merely working out what God has worked in or that God is working in. So it's no more complicated than that, is it?
No, not at all. And it lines right up with Ephesians 2:10, for example, where we were created in Christ for good works, which have been created in advance, beforehand, for us to discover. That's exactly what he's talking about here. You've got very God living inside of you, and he is motivating you and me to do what he has already created for us to do. If we would just follow along and let him be who he is, then we could be who he has created us to be.
Yeah, most definitely. So somebody ticks you off, somebody sins against you. Well, it's easy for the flesh to want to retaliate. It's easy for the flesh to want to get even. It's easy for the flesh to actually want to take it one step further. I mean, that desire, those desires of the flesh are gonna be there. But there's Jesus. He's alive, living in you, and he's working something different in there. Mm-hmm. What is your salvation? Well, your salvation is the fact that God has forgiven all of your sins, that you stand before God as a forgiven person, that the punishment for your sins went upon Jesus. Well, guess what? That person who just sinned against you, Jesus took his sins as well.
Yes.
He bore that person's sin in his body. So if you're going to work out what God is working in, then you extend forgiveness. That's what that means. And what are you going to find out? That act of forgiveness on your part is good and pleasing to you. Mm-hmm. That is the will of God, and it's a powerful, powerful thing. And again, it can't happen unless you're in that person's presence.
Yes.
And when you are, you're able to work out what God is working in a wonderful way.
And do Christians have to continually repent?
Well, repentance is one of those big words when it's used in the New Testament. Most of the time it's used to talk about that initial salvation. We're turning away from the world system and turning to Christ Jesus. That's all a part of this belief in Jesus. That's what that's in reference to. As far as a believer is concerned, it's just we're constantly being renewed by the Spirit of God, and so we're constantly being taken to the very core of things. And if we're not trusting the Lord, the Spirit is going to teach us, and we're going to turn away from that into trusting Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis.
Well, we appreciate hearing from all of our listeners. And friends, we invite you to join us and help get this message out far and wide. That's why we're offering 5 copies of our CD, We Are New Covenant, when you make your March gift to support Basic Gospel. Jesus said that men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. Instead, it's a place where everyone in the house can see it. He went on to say that in this way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So friends, help us get this message out. That's what you can do. Make your March gift to Basic Gospel or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. Christians listening or anyone listening in Canada, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Well, we're out of time for this edition, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition. Till then, for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis, God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.